Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Friday, July 17th. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. I'm here with Twins Daily writer Matthew Taylor. We're 6 days away from MLB opening day, 7 days away from Twins opening day in Chicago. Matt, how are you feeling about baseball being back? Hopefully we get there. It looks like we will after the test results today.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, and opening day can't get here.
Yeah, and it feels like the Twins are, the expectations are through the roof for this club here heading in, and we knew that coming into the 162 game season, but especially in this 60 game season, it feels like they could dominate this schedule. And I said yesterday, there's not one team on the Twins schedule that's better than them, in my opinion. So let's look at your rankings, Matt. You ranked every player on the 2020 Minnesota Twins from 59-1. That includes that taxi squad group that's over at CHS Field in St. Paul. How did you think about where to rank prospects in this? Because when you're thinking about 2020, maybe prospects aren't as big of a factor. How did you kind of navigate that? Because it seems really difficult.
Yeah, it was, which made it fun. And I spent way too much time agonizing over it and thinking way too hard about the rankings, but those times made it fun. And how I decided to tackle it and the angle that I took was not necessarily looking at how much they'll contribute to the 2020 team, because then obviously, somebody like Homer Bailey is going to contribute more than Bryce Lewis or whatever, but really looking at if each player on the Twins got an opportunity to play, how would they be ranked based on their talent? So more of that. More of their talent right now, not where they could be. But if they each got an equal opportunity in 2020, who would be the best player, and I ranked them that way.
Let's start in this top 10, because I love your number one. Josh Donaldson is the number one player. And how often can you say a team wins 101 games and then adds their best player? That is something that doesn't happen very often. I think at number two, Matt, I do think there's a little leeway here. I like Max Kepler at number two. But I think you could even go down and say Buxton could be number two. I think you could say Miguel Sano could be number two. I think Nelly Cruz could be number two. You have him at three. I think Polanco in a 60-game season with how good he was through May last year could be number two. Why'd you go with Kepler at two? What did you like last summer? I mean, there was so much to like with him. But why did you choose him over Polanco, Sano, Buxton, Nelly, those other guys this summer?
Yeah, so another key piece with my article was that I grouped players in tiers as well, just because of what you're saying. I mean, in any season, but especially a 60-game season, there's so much volatility where, any player could be above another player, but I tried to group them. So while I had Max Kepler 2 this season, I know then, Garber was ahead of him, or Sano was ahead of him. That definitely would not surprise me, but that being said, I put Kepler in there. First of all, he led the team in F4 last season with 4.4, so that's the replacement for Fangraphs. He led the Twins in 2019, and then he's headed into his age 26 season this year, so I'm expecting also some progression there. I've written before, but I think he's one of the best right fielders in baseball. I could definitely see him winning a Gold Glove. So I think from the defensive side, if he, and then at the plate, he hit almost 30 home runs last season, but could definitely see him getting better there if he can just improve in his plate discipline. I think his ceiling is probably higher than any of those other guys that you put on there. I guess Nelson Cruz, but he's got the, he doesn't play in the field, so.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard when they don't play in the field, too, because you want to see him on both sides of the ball. And that's why I've said Donaldson coming in is kind of like the man now, or it seems like they're pushing him as being the man, because he's, I think a big part is that he plays on both sides and he's so good at third. Let's talk about that rotation a little bit. Twins brought in two guys to replace Kyle Gibson and Martin Perez in Maeda and Rich Hill. So you have Maeda at 10 and Hill at 15. And I could see it both ways. I can also see how Rich Hill in a 10 to 12 start sample can be dominant for this club this summer. And I think he's a guy who's been so good. I appreciate your shout out to me in my tweet saying that only Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, and Corey Kluber have a lower ERA than Rich Hill. Is 3.00 since 2016, minimum 400 innings. So why'd you take Maeda over Hill when we know Hill can be this good. Are you higher on Maeda, lower on Hill, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I think the biggest thing is just the uncertainty coming off of an elbow surgery. Anytime you're coming off of elbow surgery, I'm a little bit nervous when you're a pitcher. And then throw into the mix that he's 40 years old coming off of elbow surgery, and that just makes me even more nervous. So even though it's a shortened season, I don't think we can, you know, be too certain of what he's going to look like. He's certainly, you know, everything coming out of summer camp, everything that we've seen from, you know, clips of him throwing and warm-ups and stuff like that this summer has looked promising, but just with his checkered injury past, I just couldn't really put him any higher than 15 with that. Maeda has consistently been healthy since coming over here. I know he had some injury issues over in Japan, but since coming to the majors has been consistently healthy, so seems like the guy that we can really, you know, bank on getting his 12 to 15 starts, whatever it's going to be, in 2020. And I'm just super interested to see. Maeda hasn't had a season where he's been the starter from opening day till, you know, the last week of the season. So I'm just really interested to see with a full season how Maeda can do. And he's another guy who he's looked really, really good this summer. And in the inner squad game the other day, he let up a leadoff home run to Max Kepler, but he looked really strong after that. And I know it's inner squad, but still, I think he's in for a big season.
Yeah, Maeda's a guy who they brought in and saw how good he is against righties. Only Max Scherzer had a lower opponent batting average against righties last year, and I think he's a tweak against lefties away from being a true one or two, you know, and if that happens and Barrios takes a step forward in a 10 to 12 game sample, it doesn't really have to, just is himself in the first half. This is a special rotation. I was looking at your outfielders in the minors, where they're ranked, like Larnach and Rooker and Kirilloff, and you know, we know the Twins are so flush in that area. So you went with Trevor Larnach at 23 and then Rooker at 26. That seems a little high in a 2020 season that where the Twins have so much depth in the outfield. Do you think that those guys will actually get an opportunity this summer? And do you think that if they do, that's where you rank them because you think they'd be better than a Jake Cave or a Lamont Wade Jr.? What was your thought process around those?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was saying from the beginning. This isn't about how much I think each guy is going to perform in 2020. It's if each of these guys got an opportunity. I really do think Trevor Larnach would perform better than Lamont Wade at the plate, or perform better than, you know, Williams Astudillo or Ariadne if given the opportunity. I could definitely see Trevor Larnach or Alex Kirilloff, for that matter, putting up an 800 OPS in a season. Especially if they can, you know, match him up against the opposite-sided pitchers or whatever to help, you know, to those ranks. But I do think we've got a stacked corner outfield, and it'll be really interesting to see how the Twins play this, both in 2020 to see how early one of them gets called up, especially with, you know, Buxton's potential injuries. Last season, all three of our outfielders were injured, so it'll be interesting to see if they call up Rooker, which I think will be the first move, or Larnach, or they try to cover things just with Marwin and Jake Cave and Lamont Wade Jr. like they did last season.
I keep looking at the back end of this rotation, and we did in spring training too, of how, trying to gauge who was going to get that fifth spot. And I remember back like 6 years ago in 2020 spring training, we were deciding as a fan base of who we'd rather see: Randy Dobnak, Joelys Chacin, Devin Smeltzer, Lewis Thorpe. Which one of those guys was going to get the fifth spot? Thorpe kind of dropped out because he left spring training for a while, tending to personal matters. But I thought it was really interesting, Matt, and I actually agree with you that Homer Bailey's at 44 and Randy Dobnak's at 37. So with that, are you saying that you think Randy Dobnak should have the fifth spot in the rotation to start the season? Why do you think that that should happen? I agree with you. I think Randy Dobnak should get an opportunity over Homer Bailey. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. Homer Bailey's pitching today against Joelys Chacin in an inter-squad game at 1 Central. But why'd you put Dobnak seven spots higher than Bailey here?
Dobnak is a really, really good pitcher, and I could give more numbers, but he's just a really good pitcher, and if you go back through his minor league numbers, he's just been really, really solid and really consistent at every level that he's pitched at, from He started the season last year at high A, all the way up to the major leagues. He had a 1.5-something ERA in the majors. He's 24 years old, 25 years old. He's still really young, and I don't know, he's just a super solid pitcher. He gets batters to pound the ball into the ground. He's level-headed. He is just really good. Homer Bailey, he's fine. He's got experience in the majors. He's never had an ERA plus over 100. He's never been an above-average pitcher. So I just don't think there's much of a ceiling there with Homer Bailey, and I would really like to give Dobnak a shot where I think he could cement himself as a starting pitcher for the next few years as a number four, number five pitcher with the Twins.
I think the Twins must really believe that they can work off that splitter that Homer Bailey was throwing last year, and they must think that they have something there, because otherwise I know they're high on Dobnak. I mean, I would put Dobnak starting on the fifth day, because I think, like you said, there's more of an opportunity, I think, for a quality start from Randy Dobnak, and there's less of a chance of him getting blown up for like 10 runs because he's such a strike thrower and, like you said, gets guys to pound the ball into the ground. So I just think there's more risk, in my opinion, with Homer Bailey, and I think there's a lower ceiling, like you said. So I agree, and I know that I was going to write an article about that, but I think that would rub... I think people are high on Homer Bailey, and I'm willing to see what happens with him starting, but I do agree as well that you wrote in the piece that he's going to have a short leash, and I agree that he should have a short leash. Interesting prospect in the Twin system that I think people look past often, and myself included, is Gilberto Celestino. And you had him at 36, one spot above 35th-ranked Royce Lewis. So, you know, as you look at Royce here at 35, do you think you said if he was at 30, if you're thinking about these prospects and if they were brought up, who would perform at the highest level? Do you think that Royce is just not there yet and last year kind of proved that? Are you pretty high on Celestino, mixture of both again there, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think both of them are there for, or at least they're there for things because of their defense. I think right now neither of them are there offensively. Royce last year in Double-A just struggled quite a bit. I think his OPS was in the 600s or something like that. I don't remember exactly where he finished out, but he struggled quite a bit. 661 OPS, but he struggled quite a bit at the plate last season, and same with Celestino. He's definitely not an offensive prospect right now, but either of them have the speed and the athleticism to perform admirably in center field, where I think they could bring quite a bit of value. Maybe they're not ready yet. They're both really young. I don't know that they're necessarily mature enough to be called up in 2020, but I put them that high just based on their defensive prowess. We don't have a ton of depth up the middle down the just down the system in the Twins organization right now, and those are kind of the two guys who could potentially play in center field if we needed kind of a long-term center fielder potentially. Motley Jr. as well, but he didn't show a ton of upside in there, so that's the main reason why I had him, is just for their defensive ability.
Yeah, I want to ask you too about indispensability, and that's something that's always thrown around with ball clubs and with sports teams, of who's the most indispensable Twin. Does Josh Donaldson being at number one make him the most indispensable, or who do you think is, Matt? I can't remember if you said you thought it was Buxton when Buxton went down. You mentioned that up the middle the Twins don't have a ton of depth in the minor league system. I know they have Nick Gordon, and you have Gordon pretty nicely ranked here on your big board. But do you think it could be Jorge Polanco, too? And if it is, let me know why. Or who do you think is the most indispensable?
Yeah, as soon as the Buxton injury happened, I was just, after thinking, oh boy, here we go again, not in the way of that Buxton is snake bit or anything, because I don't agree with any of those injury, tweets that come through. But just in the way of, now we're going to have to see what our depth is. But it really got me thinking who is the most indispensable. So I tweeted out that I think Buxton, the most indispensable Twin, just based on that lack of depth up the middle and lack of center field depth, and how Buxton's injury would force, Kepler into center, which then downgrades two positions. But I think the most indispensable Twin is Jorge Polanco. Still, I think just looking at the shortstop position in the organization, we don't really have a ton of depth behind him. Would potentially be Nick Gordon. I think he would provide solid defense, but I know that he would be above average at short. But otherwise, after that, it's like Royce Lewis, or that's really it about at the shortstop position for a legitimate coverage there. You know, we don't really, Marlon can't play short anymore. I wouldn't trust Adrianza playing shortstop, and there's nothing really else. So I think having Jorge Polanco healthy in 2020 is going to be huge, because there's really not a ton of depth behind him. So he would definitely be my number one most indispensable twin, is Polanco.
Yeah, I would agree, because of that defensive ability as well. And I think your number one, Josh Donaldson, coming in is going to help Polanco. And we already saw that. And I know you tweeted out on Inner Squad Night that video of Donaldson making the great play, or that he is helping Polanco already to Polanco's right and to Donaldson's left. So I think that hole is going to be closed a little bit more in 2020. And this team's just looking really good. And I thought you did a really nice job on your rankings, Matt. So don't listen to all the naysayers. I know it's good. Good conversation. I think you did a really nice job. I don't really have many quibbles for you. I know you told me to find some. I have, you know, there's a few, but I really don't disagree with many of your takes here. I do want to ask you, Matt, before I let you go, I want a Twins record prediction. I want a Twins MVP prediction for this season that starts in 1 week.
All right. You might put me on the spot. record prediction is tough, because the 6-game season is so volatile, but at the same time, the schedule is just so easy. I think if I had to put a win total on the Twins, I would put them at 34.5 for the win total, and I would probably take over on that. I'm thinking 35 wins, 36 wins for the 2020 season. If I had to pick an exact number, I'll say 36 and, 24 for a record, and I think they win the AL Central. I think the schedule is just too easy. They play my favorite stat that I've tweeted out this season, is just they play 40% of their games this year against the Royals and the Tigers. So it's just, the schedule works out way too perfectly for the Twins. But we'll say 36 wins for the Twins, and if I'm picking an MVP, I'll just go ahead and pick the number one guy on my rankings and go with Josh Donaldson.
You're the man. 36 wins, Josh Donaldson MVP. That's what I like to hear on a Friday. Matt, thanks so much. Enjoy the Inter Squad game today. I know it's like the most exciting thing that we've seen in months of live sports. I'm excited to have you back on during the season. We're going to get underway. Matt, where can you be followed on Twitter as well? I believe it's, go ahead.
Yep, I'm at Matthew Taylor MN.
At Matthew Taylor MN. He's doing giveaways now.
Sure thing.
Yeah, he's doing giveaways. So follow him at Matthew Taylor MN. Great Twins follow. Really glad you're on board, Matt, and you'll be back on soon. We'll be talking about the Twins starting 25-0 in 2020. Thanks so much, Matty.
Yeah.